You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome.
Good, man. It's a lively bunch. That's for sure. That's good. That's a wake us up. Yeah, right on. Wake us up. Good job. That was great, wasn't it? It really was. And you know, today is a very, give him a hand, would you? We thank the Lord for them, that's for sure. Hey, so today is a very special day, right? It's Big Church Sunday. Big Church Sunday, right? When we first announced that and Patrick came out from the side and yelled Big Church Sunday, I thought we were going to have a big face plant Sunday. You know, he kind of lost his, did you guys see that? He kind of lost his balance. I thought he was done. I swear I did. Big Church, what's that? Somebody's talking. Oh, well, anyway, it's Patrick. Big Church Sunday, Patrick. Big Church, woo! All right, so why do we do Big Church Sunday? We do it about once a quarter, right? And the reason why we do that is not because the volunteers need a week off. That's not why we do Big Church Sunday. Big Church Sunday, when I say it, I'm used to Patrick popping in. But that's not why we do that. Why we do it is because we felt like that there are Sundays when it's good for the children to come in and be a part of what we do collectively. Right on? You know, so coming in together, that's why we're doing that. And usually it's once a quarter or something like that. I don't know. But anyways, it's good to be here and we welcome all of our youngsters. Give our youngsters a big hand. Would you do that? We love our kids. We do. They're good boys and girls here at the Shelter Community Church. That is for sure. So today has been an incredible day. This week has been an incredible week. Truthfully, what I came up and initially said was it was a week of loss. You know, we had Bob and Janet, who come first service. Their brother passed away. We had Bud and Susie, who are not here this morning, but Susie's mom passed away. If you guys know Bud and Susie, you may want to send them Susie a nice little note or message or just encourage her. But there's Bud and Susie Sweeney. They lost their mother. Then we had Reese Pearson, who within the last week passed away. And man, our hearts go out to Laura and Christy and just the family. And you know, it is while we say it is loss, Scripture says it is something else. Scripture says to die is what? Gain. Right? That's what it says. I think sometimes we may have that a little messed up. The truth is that Reese is in a much better place, free from what he dealt with his struggles, and anyways, but we need to keep the family in prayer. And here's what hit me this week. Some of this came with my weekly call with Brother Mark Long, who plays guitar. Some of you may know him, some of you may not, but he sits in the back and runs sound. Mark Long is over everything that we do instrumentally and with the band every week. And he empowers and sets everything up for Sarah and Carrie. And Mark Long is behind the scenes. Not many people know that. He's very administratively minded. He's totally different from what I am. Right? That's a shocker, right? But right on. There he is. He's here. I didn't know you were here, man. Daggone, he's here. Man, so look. Don't let that head get too big because people behind you won't be able to see you. But we love Mark, and Barbie gives Mark up to let him do what he does. But Mark on the phone this week says, you know, this Reese thing was a punch in the gut. And it was a punch in the gut. Was it not, Brother Don? It was a punch in the gut. Don said the same thing. It stung. This one stung, Don said. And I think the punch in the gut and the sting is something that the good Lord wants us all to feel. Because here's the truth. The truth is that this is life and death. What we do here at Shelter Community is life and death. We're not here playing church, folks. We're not here giving us somewhere to go on Sunday mornings. We're here to lead every person to a life-changing relationship with Jesus. We are here because there's hurting, dying, empty, lost people who need a place to experience God. They need to hear the gospel message, the good news. They need to hear of God's love and God's grace and God's compassion. We're here because God has led us here to grow small in a really big way. Now, here's what was incredible, what I witnessed, and it was mind-blowing to me to see me coming into the funeral. Number one, I was the only one wearing a suit. I thought I was wearing a suit because Chris was giving the message, or the end message. I thought for sure Chris, I was supporting Chris because I know Reese wouldn't be here with a suit. Do you understand what I mean? And it was not Reese, but I did it to support Chris. Chris came in with no suit, folks. I was the only one without it, and that's okay. But here's what was really cool about leadership of Don Fricke and Chris Jackson is that I did not know anyone that was here. You understand what I'm saying? This was a beautiful thing. We talk about Tuesday Night Recovery Church. It is a church. And Don Fricke leads that work. And Chris was ministering to one that attends there, one that Don had been ministering to. Right? Don and Chris were ministering to them. And Don was their pastor. They meet here on Tuesdays. This is their church. This is where they meet. Don was their pastor. And Don spoke honoring words over Reese and honoring Reese and honoring those that were here. Folks, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. And what else was beautiful was the fact that we had core leaders from the church that had been touched by Reese when he attends on Sunday. And many of you were here. And you were ministering to those people, the Reese's family and Reese's friends. You were ministering to them. And I don't know. I saw some incredible things happen. So much so that this week, yesterday, last night, thinking about that, I was moved to tears thinking about community, the community that we have here, and how this is so far beyond me. Praise God. Last Saturday night, I didn't come on Sunday because we had something, a family thing on Sunday, but I went Saturday. And Saturday was Open Table Ministries. That we have these expressions of church. Tuesday night is Don's and Kim Craycraft's Shelter Recovery Church. And then we have Saturday twice a month. We have the Open Table Ministries led by Jacob right here. And Jacob leads that. And I came in and he had his core group there. There was all of his core group, and they were playing games with all these people that I had no idea who they were. Guys, it was a beautiful thing. And then Jacob says, "Hey, man, Jay says, "Hey, I think it'd be a good idea." That was his ordination name. But anyways, Jay says to me, he says, "You want to come in and play a game?" I'm not a gamer, folks. I just don't. Beth gets mad at me sometimes because I hate playing games. But I thought, you know what? I'll do it. You know, And Jay wanted me to. And I understand why he wanted me to, because he wanted me to experience community. And so he takes me over and he puts me there and he says, "Ryan, everyone can understand this game. This is like the sushi game." Or was it sushi? Sue what? Sushi, whatever. Sushi, I can say it. So we played this game, right? And I lost. I had these kids beat me. You know, the little kids beat me. I'm not a gamer. But it was beautiful because we're playing. I'm sitting across the table from this couple who has this little kid, this little boy. And we're playing and we're connecting and there's stuff that's happening. And I'm looking all around and there's stuff that's happening. And man, Jay, it's a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to experience community. I witnessed that. I missed Jay's message. Jay gives a message there at a certain point, and I missed that. But I'm seeing things happen, folks. It is incredibly encouraging. And here's what I believe. I believe God is calling us to have these different expressions and to raise up these different leaders, because these different leaders are reaching people that there's no way. It's just beyond me. I can't connect. I could not connect with Reese like Don can connect with Reese. You guys here with me today? And here is when I look at this dynamic and I see this idea of growing small in a really big way, we're not building big megaplexes here, folks. You understand what I'm saying? We're not doing that. We will multiply services and expressions of church so that more people can come in and connect and hear the gospel and accept Jesus in their way. And we're not telling them how that way or how they need to be to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm just incredibly encouraged. This is about life and death. God has raised up this church right here for a reason. And you are indeed attracting unchurched and out of church people, people who are hurting and dying and empty and lost. I am amazed to see it happen. And here's what else is cool. For me, I got the big 5-0 coming November 7th. And I think I am going to go through a midlife crisis because every time I'm up here, I mention it. But here's the truth. The truth is I started going to this gym and I had been going for a long time, once a week, trying to, you know, I just keep telling myself when I'm 80, I want to be able to, you know, get up and play with my kids, you know? So I'm trying to, you know, improve my flexibility and cut some weight. And here's what I did. I upped it to 4 days a week. I'm going 4 days a week. I go in the early morning. And when I go, the whole idea of me going is to get to a certain place by the time that I'm 50, right? And it's just what I want to do, right? And so I went to the gym. I signed up with this place. And I said, if this doesn't work, I'm done. I'm done. I've been trying for 50 years and I'm done. I'm just going to accept the way I am. You understand what I'm saying? And move on with it. I'm done. It's over. And so, man, I'm it's becoming part of that routine, you know, in the one thing, it's a book. It talks about 66 days to start a habit. I'm there. I'm moving in that direction. Here's the deal. The deal is, I think here, this church, for many people, is the last stop. You understand what I'm, you know where I'm going with that? It's the last stop. We got one chance. Many of you may be here this morning, and you said, you know what? I'm going to give this spiritual thing, not this physical thing, not a gym, whatever, but this spiritual thing, I'm going to give it one more shot. Those of you that are part of this community, that are ministering to Reese, ministering to people, you know, ministering to those that come through these doors, I think we need to take it very, very serious. It's a life and death matter. And it's beyond any one of us. God is raising us up to do things like Open Table Ministries, raising us up to do things like Shelter Recovery Church, raising us to do things like the Facebook live stream, of which Brian has over 50 people week after week that watches the message and connects in some form or fashion from the beginning to the end. That is a virtual community. We got one chance with some of those folks. God has us here for a reason. For a reason. We are playing for keeps. And I say all that to lead into what God, I believe God is leading us here to talk about today. Someday all of this will come to an end as we know it. It will all come to an end. I used to hear an evangelist talk about this window of opportunity. There's a window of opportunity that we have as a church to reach. I keep saying the 60,000 that drive by the church building every day, but those 60,000 make up your sons and daughters. They make up your brothers and sisters. They make up your friends and your neighbors, your moms and dads. We got one shot. We have a window of opportunity. And so for me, in this series of messages that we've laid out, and to be honest with you, I didn't come up with this theme, this relax, it's all good. I would have never put this together because of the tension that it causes me? How can we relax and just say it's all good when we see what we saw this past week with our friend, our brother Reese, his relapse and his OD? How can we just relax and say that it's all good when there's all these hurting, dying, empty, lost people that we know, that we are related to, that we have connections with? How can we say, just relax, it's all good, when we know that at some point it all comes to an end? You hear with me today, folks? Now, I don't know about you, but I've experienced some real tension with this. And as a matter of fact, I have never relaxed. When you talk about the end, when you talk about the end times, when you talk about the last days, that's associated with this whole other belief system. And truthfully, probably some lie-based issues that I bought into early on because of early trauma of hearing church pastors and preachers talk about the last days and where it left me. The altars are running dry. So if we're not going to get them with love, we're going to scare the heebie-jeebies right out of them. So good old mom and dad took me to West Virginia. I go to West Virginia, and it's where old Uncle Keith and Aunt Pam lived. We go to the Charleston Church, this church, I don't know where it was, doesn't matter, but it is this little Church of the Nazarene, man. And we go in there, it's where they were going, and on a Sunday night, there's this movie that they're going to show. We all gathered in, and back then the movie was not a video. Some of you youngsters are like, what in the world is that? The movie was like this, right? Reel to reel kind of thing, you know? Showing this. You can't get in the way of the beam, you know? And you're watching it, and the whole movie, listen, the movie was about like this, the what they call the rapture, meaning God's going to lift people up and take people home, and there's going to be some to not make it, and they're about to go through this horrendous time and called a tribute. It was scary stuff, and I'm not going to get into all the movie, but the movie, honestly, the movie was rated R. I swear it was. It had to be rated R, and here I am sitting there watching this in the church, folks. And it scared the heebie-jeebies out of me. After that movie, I think I got saved 5 times. I was scared stiffless, man. I mean, I was literally scared. Nightmare stuff, you know? I mean, they had one lady, and she goes into the bathroom because she hears her husband's razor in the sink. And her husband had been lifted, gone. He's gone, and she's left, you know what I mean? And so it created all these images and all these things, you know, watching this movie, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So it wasn't long after that, the little yellow school bus is taking old Ryan home. Ryan gets off the school bus, and I walk down the driveway and open the door. I said, Mommy, I'm home. The house is dead quiet. I'm not hearing anything. Brothers are all gone. Run down the hall, open up the door. Nope, she wasn't there. I'm running everywhere trying to find, you know, oh my gosh, where's Mom? She's been raptured. She's gone. So I literally run to the phone. I'm dialing on the phone. It was a dial phone, folks. You know what that is, right? I'm dialing the phone, and I'm calling Florida to see if my grandmother picks up, because if anyone was going to be raptured, it was going to be her. Thank God she answered and Mom was down the road. It was all good. But honestly, that's the kind of images and feelings and belief systems that I have that's associated with the book of Revelation. Scary stuff. Now, I don't know about y'all, but this is just, it's scary for me. You know, R.E.M. has that song. It's the end of the world as you know it. You guys know what I'm talking about? And I feel what? Fine. I never felt fine. You understand what I mean? How can they sing that? I never felt fine. And, you know, all this stuff was going on. I'm growing up with this. You know, I'm in college, right, in 1990s, and it's coming, the end of the world. And I think it was 1993 was the big calculation, and that was going on, and it never happened. And then I get to 2000. Then we went through what? The Y2 what? K. Some of you guys are like, what in the world is that? We actually believe, some of us, that once it hit 2000, that the computers are all going to, you guys with me here this morning? It's crazy stuff was going to go nuts. It was going to go nuts. I mean, I was selling moves at the time. I know that's crazy, but I was working for a moving. Nonetheless, I was giving estimates on people's grain that we were going to be moving. People were afraid of this idea of the end times, the last days. And so here's where I see this. Let me just share this with you, because this is the conclusion. And again, this is not what I would have chose to preach, but it's been helpful to me. And I think God has me here for a reason, to probably hear more from me than you. It's usually that's the case, by the way. But there's two areas of concerns and challenges with people and with all of us, right? There, on one extreme, we have the West Virginia pastor, right, who feels so compelled to see people come to know Jesus, that, and I'm sure that his motives were not wrong, but he's trying to share because he's so worried and concerned about the end times that he's going to show a rated R clip that's going to scare the heebie-jeebies out of this little boy who's going to go home believing from school that he missed it. We have that extreme, and then we have this other extreme. The other extreme is, I think, where most of us are. All kinds of people, all of us, who doesn't take this end time, this latter day, this end of time, closing of the window, if you will, serious enough. We're disconnected from the Lord's plan and his plans to redeem us and to set up a new creation for all of us. We ignore, we're so distracted, we pay no mind to that there is indeed an end coming for all of us. So we have these two extremes. And we have to try to figure that out with Scripture and kind of live in that tension. So when I get tense or I get anxious or when I'm trying to figure this out, even trying to figure this out on how to share this message, I go to the Scripture. Here's what the Scripture says. And this one we've been sharing with you for the last 7 weeks. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in who? Christ Jesus. So for 7 weeks, that is the thrust of relax, it's all good. The only way that we can relax because it's all good is because we don't have to worry about anything. We can pray about everything. We can tell God what we need and we can thank him. Then we will experience God's peace. Relax, it's all good. Then we can experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. And I don't understand the last days. I don't understand end times. I don't understand why God allows, in all of his sovereignty and all of his provision, if you don't mind being honest with you, the tension of trying to figure out why God would lead someone like Reese so far only to allow him to relapse and not be here with us today. I don't understand this heroin epidemic, folks. I don't understand it. But what I do understand is the fact that his peace, or what I do understand is the fact that this experiencing of God's peace exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That I have experienced, that I do understand. So regarding the end is near. Regarding this idea of revelation, 1 Peter 4, it says this: the end of the world is coming soon. Man, that's not very assuring, is it? Therefore, be earnest, it says. Be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. By the way, prayer is mentioned a whole lot in these scriptures. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Folks, when we start looking at the last times, and I want to show you this revelation. When we start looking at revelation, it's not about fear. It's not about anxiety. It's not about, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Ooh, let's go hide. Let's fill the barrels. I'm not making fun of you if you do fill the barrels. But I'm just saying this is what it's about. It's about love. When 1 Peter 4 talks about the end times, what's he bring us back to? He brings us back to love. Most important of all is not when God comes, not when the end is coming, not Y2K. It's not, you know, it's none of that stuff. The most important of all is continue to show deep love for each other. John the Revelator, man, he was all about love. He loved us so much that he gave Book of Revelation to some very persecuted people who he loved them so much that he wanted them to see what was to come, not to scare the heebie-jeebies out of them. He did it because he wanted them to know that God loves them and God has a plan and that God is sovereign and that God has all this under his control. So in the mindset that the end of the world is coming, it's all about love. Look, if you study John Wesley or in our tradition, you look at John Wesley and you look at what he talks about in terms of love. Look at the commentaries. The commentaries on love are this wide, right? And then you get to eschatology in the end times and it's this wide. Folks, I think some of us, we get so caught up in the end is coming and we're so caught up and nervous wringing our hands about this when God wants us in that. And here's the truth. If we're caught up in this, we miss the Reese Pearsons of the world. And we're not here. Shelter's not here. Shelter's not here to get you covered up in this. Shelter's here because we love God and because God commands us to love others. That's why we're here. Look, here's the 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. It says, we tell you. Now, this is all a mystery to me. This is a mystery to me. But it's not a mystery to scare the heebies out of us. It's a mystery. It's a mystery giving us, well, you'll see. Look, it says verse 15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. This is directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet ahead of those who have died. He's given some, this is kind of some images that God's given these folks as they're writing them down. Verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from the grave. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. That is what the imagery is, and that's the way it's going to be. But look at 18. Don't miss 18, because 18 is what God wants you to get. So encourage each other with these words. Not scare the heebie-jeebies out of them. Look, one day God is coming again, and you are going to be with your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa that have gone on before you. One day, the end is not the end, folks. The end is a beginning of a new beginning. It is, and not only that, but we are going to be with those who've helped us come to know Christ. This is a beautiful thing. So encourage each other with these words. Look, when we get to the book of Revelation, it's about love and it's about encouragement. There will be a day when we all will need to face God. We will meet the Lord. He is speaking of the believers. Those who have accepted the Lord by faith will rise from the dead. They will be brought back together. So encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other to stay with the faith and don't lose sight of it. Encourage others to know, look, we don't have all the answers. We don't know how it's all going to be laid out. But don't get so consumed in that. Get consumed in the love of God and in the faith of knowing Him and knowing that He has everything under His care and control. 2 Peter. Look, and before I read 2 Peter, real quick, it says, Billy Graham says this. He says, but there is one prophecy about the future that I urge you not to ignore or dismiss as nonsense. And that is the one spoken by Jesus. Jesus wanted that, he warned that someday this world as we know it will come to an end, not because of war or natural disasters, but because God will intervene and bring it to an end. This future is in God's hands and He alone will bring an end to the world. And when He does, all the evils of this world will be destroyed and Jesus Christ will come again to rule over a new world in perfect peace and justice. We can barely imagine this, but it gives us hope for a better world, as the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:13. In keeping with these, well, we have it here. So in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and new earth, the home of what? Righteousness. All things are made right. Folks, this is incredible news. This is like blockbuster stuff. The idea that we can look forward, not look forward with fear and trembling, but with anticipation. We can look forward. So when we get to the book of Revelation, man, it's about love. It's about encouragement. It's about looking forward to what is to come. That's what is cool about this. Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21 says this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth had disappeared and the sea was gone. Folks, this is about a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth was set aside and the sea was also gone. What's the sea? The sea represents chaos and confusion. What's it say about the sea? It says that it's going to be all gone, meaning there's not going to be any more chaos or confusion. How many here live and experience chaos and confusion? You're not going to have to experience that anymore. It's going to be all gone, it says. And not only that, but some of us, back then, they also associated the sea with roaring, roar monsters. It was scary, man. A roaring monster. Roar! Right? Look, here's what it says about the roaring monster. It will be all gone. This is not about fretting or fearing. This is about hope, man. It's about love, encouragement, and something to look forward to. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Wow. Now, I never quite got this. And you know, I've done too many weddings, and I've got too many more that I'm probably going to be doing, Lord willing. I'm still here. And what's cool is I do the best part about the wedding, and the only part about the wedding that I like is seeing that bride come down the aisle and looking at the bride beaming in all of her glory and all of her beauty, and then looking at the groom. And watching this dynamic take place, boom, is unbelievable. It is magical. It's really something to behold. Like, you're doing it, and you're the pastor, and you're seeing this dynamic take place. And this is what the end time is going to look like. Because what happens is they're playing this song. I can't do it right, but you know what I mean? And everyone stands and they're looking at the bride and the bride's turning and stuff's going on. There's dynamic happen, a very incredible spiritual experience. And there's a unification that happens and takes place. It is unbelievable. That is the way it's going to be in the end. The end is just like that, because the church, yes, you, the church is the bride. And you are going to turn and you're going to see the face of Jesus, who is the groom, and you're going to be unified with Christ. This is not something to fear. This is something, it's all about love. It's all about encouragement. It's all about looking forward to that. This is a beautiful picture. This is not something to get all roused up about or avoid. God forgive me, I've avoided it for a long time. Only time I ever use Revelation 21 is when somebody's dying or dead at their funeral. Look, this is about love. It's about encouragement. It's about looking forward. Look at verse 3. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eye and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying or pain. All these things are gone temporarily?
Forever.
No, forever. Hallelujah. This is about love. It's about encouragement. It's about looking forward to this new heaven and this new earth, this paradise. In the end, everything will reset as paradise. If you want to know what the end days look like, look, it's not about devastation, destruction, suffering, obliteration, the apocalypse. No, it's about paradise. It's about God bringing everything back to the way that he originally intended. He says in verse 5, I am making everything new, new beginning, new earth. Everything will be new. New, I like new stuff. Do you like new stuff? I like new stuff. I like new appliances. You guys like new appliances? I like a new car. There's nothing like getting in a new car. Do you ever smell a new car? Oh, man, a new car is worth the crazy money it is, right? The new car, the smell of it, I love it. I love new stuff. New is fun. I like new. New. Everything is going to be new. This is about love. It's about encouragement. It's about looking forward. Look at verse 6. It says, or no, look at 5. I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. John the Revelator, he's writing this. He's trying to keep up. And Jesus is speaking the word to him. He's like, write this down. Write it down. Get it all down. I want these people to know. Why do I want them to know? To scare the heebie-jeebies out of them? No, it's not a Stephen King novel. Write it down. I want you to write it down because I want them to understand that this is about love. It's about encouragement. It's about looking forward. Verse 6, and he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Alpha is the beginning of the Greek alphabet, I think. And the Omega is the end of the Greek alphabet. I don't speak Greek, but I think that's what I read. The end of the Greek alphabet. So it's about the Alpha and the Omega. It's about the beginning and the end. It's about all of it in its entire. It's about God being the creator of the heaven and the earth. It's about God being in complete sovereignty. That's powerful stuff. Here's the deal, guys. The deal is, and I almost cut this in the back room pre-service huddle. They said, no, keep it in there. I said, all right, I'll keep it in there. I need another 2 minutes. Will you yield me about 3 or 4 minutes here? I tell you this. I said, okay, yield me your time because I'm over time. You yield me your time. I appreciate it if you want to hear this. So here's the deal. Here's what it all really kind of looks like. You guys familiar with Kevin Durant? Okay, KD, right? NBA, right? KD, right? I don't follow NBA teams because they're always trading. And by the time I really start liking a team, they trade and they move somebody else on. I'm just done with it all, right? So I root for players. I like players. I like my Kentucky Wildcat players and I like KD. KD's like my favorite. I like KD. He's a good guy. So all through, I'm watching KD. He played for the Oklahoma City, OKC Thunder. And I'm watching him play. And every year we get to the playoffs. And I'm like, oh, come on, Kevin Durant. You can do it. You can do it, Kevin. I'm rooting. I'm all bent out of shape. I'm anxious and I'm watching him and knowing deep down inside that every year he's going to come up short because there's the Golden State Warriors. You guys in the house here today? Yeah. Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors have Stephen Curry and they have Thompson, they have Green, they have got these, and every year, man, these guys every year pull it out and they last several years. So anyways, here's what's happening. What's happening is KD every year is working his rear off, trying to get better, get the team better. All this stuff's going on and they come up short every year and they end up losing. And you know Golden State's going to win. So what KD was, the end of last season, if you can't beat him, you join him. He went from OKC to Golden State Warriors. And when Kevin Durant went to the Golden State Warriors, everybody, including my mom, knew that Golden State Warriors were going to win the finals. Everyone. All right? So here's what happened. We get through the season. We're watching them play. And you know, it's phenomenal to watch them play. They're winning more games. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And you know, you watch the team come together and you watch how they work together. It was about love, man. It was about encouraging each other. They were looking forward because they knew they had it won. I don't care what they tell you in the press releases. They knew they were going to win it. And everyone else knew they were going to win it too. Kevin Durant got hurt. He was there. He was sitting on the sidelines, had his knee, his leg in a cast. And we still, everyone knew. Everyone knew it was about love. And people were encouraging KD. KD, it's going to be all right, man. KD knew it was going to be all right. Everything was good. Everything was fine, right? It was about love, encouragement, and looking forward. They were looking forward to winning that victory, to winning that prize. And what happens when you win, right? There's that water cooler effect, right? You dump that water cooler. That water cooler's there. You knew. They knew they were going to experience that championship. And what happened? They experienced and won it all, right? Look, here's this. It's the same thing. When you get on the right team here, and I know this is real shallow, and I'm sorry, guys, I am very shallow. I really am. But here's the deal. When you get on the right team, you know you're going to win. KD knew he was going to win. Stephen Curry knew they were going to win. It was over before it was even started. Now, here's what's cool. In verse 6 and 7, here's what it says. And he said, it is finished. You guys with me here tonight? It is finished, man. It is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water cooler of life. Right? Verse 7, all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Folks, the game is not over here. Someone said something about the devil won. Or it was mentioned in the funeral yesterday. The devil did not win. He never wins, folks. When you're on the right team and you've accepted Jesus and you're following him and you're looking at the end, you're looking at the finals, you're looking at the last days, it's about love, it's about encouragement, it's about looking forward to the fact that we serve a God that already has this in the bag, man. Now, it does say this, but cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immorals, those who practice witchcraft and idol worship and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of the burning sulfur. This is the second death. Now, I don't know about you, but man, the water cooler to me sounds a lot better than the, and I'm not making light. God wants us all to experience his victory. He wants us all to look forward to what he has in store. And all of us be a part of that, the finals, man. Be a part of that celebration that's going to take place and happen. When you read the book of Revelation, you don't read it out of fear. You don't read it out of with anxiety. You read it understanding that all of it is about love. It's about encouragement. It's about giving us something to look forward to. Let's all stand. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the fact that we know no matter how hard life is, no matter how difficult and trying our times and situations are right now, many of us are going through significant conflict right now. There's chaos. There's stuff that's raging war against us and our families. Lord, this enemy is working against us, trying to rob us and feed us this lie that we can't win. When the truth is that we can win. The truth is, it's already won. The truth is that it's in the bag. And we just have to look to you and not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication. So that we can help us to find that peace that passes all understanding. Lord, help us when we look to the latter day, when we look to the end, we look forward. We look with love, and we look finding encouragement, and we look forward to that thing that we all deep down inside are craving. This idea of being made new, this idea of finding our home and settling into that eternal relationship with you that will never end. So Lord, right now with where all of us are, and I thank you for the extra time that I've been able to have this morning. I know there are folks here this morning that are significantly struggling. And I want to invite you to come forward, if you would. We've got prayer people that will be up front. Linda Rozier and Chris and Jessica Tinkham and others. Those of you that are on the prayer team, if you could come up here. And I want to pray. And after I pray, I want to extend an invitation for you to come up and allow us to pray with you. Is that okay? Father God, I pray for your spirit of peace. Lord, as we look to the end, I know that there are some with anxiety. I know that there are some here today that really have just been indifferent about this whole idea of a relationship with you. And I know that there are others that, man, they're struggling. They're hurting. They're going through it, and they need relief. So, Lord, this morning, I just pray, God, that there would be just a spirit of your spirit to descend upon us. And there would be a great outpouring, a movement of folks just to come forward and have their needs prayed for. And I pray that not one person walks out of here not having felt moved and touched, not having felt like they have encountered hope in your divine presence. Lord, I thank you for all those that are watching on Facebook live stream and those that are watching and listening through the computer this week. I pray you would touch them just as you are touching and moving with those that are here this morning. So, church, be reverent. And if you even bring your kids down and come forward and pray and let these people pray with you and over you to give you what you need for this morning. Thank you for coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.